temperatures low 50s. The northwest wind to 15 miles per hour in the morning, becomes southwesterly to 25 with gusts to 45 this afternoon.
FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It's 8:05 Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Wednesday, the 11th of March, 72 hours away now. From the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage. Starts at 8:05. Go to GorgeRadio.com to find out all about that. If you want your bidder number, call 541-296-2211 and you get your bidder number for Saturday. And the complete list of auction items is at GorgeRadio.com. And I'm going to emphasize the bidder number, call-in number again. The number to call to get a bidder number is 541-296-2211. It's not our number here on this show because we're getting calls on our number for the show. Yeah, all we can do is send you to the dials. So just try to get everybody going to the right place efficiently. Here's what we're doing this morning. First part of the program when we get things going. Executive Director Leslie Naramore, Deputy Director Andrew Daines, Mid Columbia Community Action. We're going to talk a lot about Rowena and the recovery efforts going on there because Andrew is the co-chair of the Rowena Long-Term Recovery Group. I think that's the name of it. I wasn't looking at it, so I don't know. Second half of the program, Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, will be with us. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1918, what were believed to be the first confirmed U.S. cases of a deadly global flu pandemic, first reported among Army soldiers stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. 46 soldiers would die. The influenza outbreak would ultimately kill an estimated 20 to 40 million people worldwide. 1941, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the Lend-Lease Act, which provided war supplies to Allied countries during World War II. 1985, Mikhail Gorbachev was chosen to succeed the late Konstantin Chernenko as General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party. 2004, 3 days before general elections in Spain, 10 bombs exploded in quick succession inside commuter trains in Madrid, killing 193 people in an attack linked to Al-Qaeda-inspired militants. 2006, former Serb leader Slobodan Milosevic was found dead at the age of 64 of a heart attack in his prison cell in the Netherlands, abruptly ending his four-year UN war crimes trial. 2010, a federal appeals court in San Francisco upheld the use of the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance and in God we trust on U.S. currency. 2011, a magnitude 9 earthquake and resulting tsunami struck Japan's northeastern coast, killing nearly 20,000 people and severely damaging the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station. 2012, U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales shot and killed 16 Afghan villagers, mostly women and children, as they slept. Bales later pled guilty and was sentenced to life in prison without parole. And in 2021, President Joe Biden signed the law, a $1.9 trillion COVID relief package that he said would help defeat the virus and nurse the economy back to health. Lower-income Americans would receive up to $1,400 in direct payments, along with extended unemployment benefits. Days for today, it is debunking day today. Boy, there's a lot of that to do out there right now, isn't there? It's Dream Day today. It is Johnny Appleseed Day today, that legend. It is Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day today. That's getting very specific. It is World Plumbing Day today. That's very important. And it's Worship of Tools Day today. So apparently you should treat your tools right. They are very important. Our food today, it is National Eat Your Noodles Day. So you know, eat your noodles, you know, just if they get served to you, I guess. It's also, if you're looking for a breakfast idea, Oatmeal Nut Waffles Day today, which gets very specific on this sort of thing. Yeah, they have to be oatmeal nut waffles, apparently, today. So there it is for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot. 8:09 in the morning. When we come back, we will talk Mid-Columbia Community Action in Rowena right after this.
Hi, this is Michelle from Hood River Supply. Got a big project? We've got rentals, heaters, generators, flooring tools, and even gear for larger jobs. As your locally owned co-op since 1949, we serve over 1,500 members gorge-wide. Plus, enjoy store-to-door delivery within 50 miles. Join the co-op or Ace Rewards and start saving. Visit us in Hood River, Odell, or online at hrsupply.com. Hood River Supply, around the block with what you need in stock and rentals, too.
Spring sports are just around the corner. Stand out from the crowd and show off your team pride with equipment and apparel boldly branded with your team logo. Hi, this is Dawn with Summit Embroidery Works. We have the best products to get your team geared up and ready for the season, from hats and jerseys that fit your budget to the fun souvenirs that show off your amazing team logo and for the fans to take home. Summit Embroidery Works on Highway 14 in Bingen. Let us put your logo to work for you.
I am Heidi Headland, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
The Hood River County School District is open for kindergarten and new student enrollment for the 2026-2027 school year. Children who are at least 5 by September 1st are eligible. New student enrollment is exclusively for children who have not attended a Hood River County school during the 2025-2026 school year. To enroll new students, go to the Hood River County School District website. For families with children going to kindergarten, kindergarten orientation is on Thursday, April 30th at 5:30 at your local elementary school.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:11 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined in studio by, for Mid-Columbia Community Action, Executive Director Leslie Naramore and Deputy Director Andrew Danes. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk Rowena here quite a bit, because Andrew is a co-chair of the Rowena Long-Term Recovery Group that, Andrew, I'll be getting a little close to the microphone there, make sure we're getting you there. And the recovery group, this involves a lot of different players, doesn't it?
That's correct, Mark. Yeah, we have a lot of local county staff. Kelly Housley Glover from Wasco County is my mm-hmm. co-chair. We also have people from Wasco County Health Department, Wasco County Sewer and Sanitation,
right.
Folks who have a hand in infrastructure. We also have a couple local residents on our long-term recovery group.
Mm-hmm. So what is the purvey of this group in particular? I mean, the name long-term obviously kind of covers this. And I remember Kelly actually saying on this show that when you look at similar situations as the Rowena fire, obviously long-term is correct because it's a 5 to 7 year rebuild. For most places.
That's correct, yeah. So when a traumatic event like a fire happens, there's kind of two phases that kick in. There's an immediate response phase mm-hmm. That is about getting people into homes, making sure people are safe. And then there's also a recovery phase that is rebuilding, getting people back on their feet, kind of making Rowena what it was before the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Response is a months-long process. Yeah. Recovery is a years-long process.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been in contact with other recovery groups throughout the state mm-hmm. Who, you know, from fires in 2020, 21, who are still operating, still providing support to victims of mm-hmm. those incidents. And I anticipate we'll be around for the next several years at least.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned there's the long-term recovery, and then there's response. And Leslie, Mid-Columbia Community Action was involved in that mm-hmm. at the start. I assume the response phase really is still going on in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, we're not even at the one-year mark yet
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the fire. So, yes, I would say that the response is still happening. We have rehoused 28 households since the fire. And we still have two households that we're supporting in hotels. And then we're providing case management for 45 households.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew, one of the things that's been involved in this is is trying to assign, from what I understand, you know, everybody who needs help out of this ruin of fire to get them their almost their own coordinator to deal with this, because I would imagine it's a whole lot of red tape and a whole lot of planning for a lot of people who are in need of some quick answers.
That's correct, and that has been, I think, a frustration for everyone, is not being able to move fast enough. But a goal of ours is to do it right. And so doing things deliberately, making sure we're crossing all our T's and dotting all our I's has been important for us. And I think the work we did to kind of lay the groundwork for this recovery group is really paying off now that we're going through the process of reviewing cases and distributing money that was raised by the community.
Now, two things of note have happened in the last little while. I mean, number one, actually, I guess it's not done yet, but we were talking yesterday with Scott Hagee, Wasco County Commissioner, and we got into a little bit about the actual cleanup going on that Crestline Construction is spearheading. It sounds like, Andrew, that's about done.
That's my understanding, yeah. I think they were hoping to be done by the end of this month.
Okay, yeah. So that's closing in. Which does set up, though, some other things to happen, doesn't it?
That's correct, yes. Once cleanup is completed, that kind of clears the way for people to start rebuilding. And, of course, that involves permitting. Yeah. A lot of there's some issues with the property lots in Rowena where they were essentially grandfathered in with their old septic system, and their current setup wouldn't allow a new septic system. So there's a lot of kind of permitting challenges in play.
I'll get to the septic here in a minute, but the second thing that has happened in the last 10 days to 2 weeks that is very important, the concurrence on the Gorge Commission management plan revisions to allow quicker rebuild in the case of natural disasters. The Ag Department, Secretary of Agriculture, gave concurrence. I know there's still a flurry, still a paperwork going back and forth, but bottom line is, Andrew, that does set the stage for Wasco County to begin to act.
Absolutely right, yeah. The Gorge Commission has been a good partner on this, and they've worked with Wasco County closely to recognize the what people in Rowena have gone through and that they need to rebuild.
And so that will allow a couple things. Number one, along with the permitting regulations and trying to streamline those. So if you're just trying to rebuild what you had, you can get through it quick. But also, and this is very important, this gets to the rehousing issue you mentioned, Leslie, that you've got, now you can put, Wasco County will be able to permit RVs in that area to stay there, I think up to a 10-year period. I mean, it's fairly wide open, isn't it?
Yes, that's my understanding.
So that's important. And imagine from that rehousing standpoint, you probably have a lot of people who you've been rehousing who kind of been waiting for that, haven't they, Leslie?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the goal is for people to be able to return to rebuild their homes in Rowena. So while we have rehoused 28 households, a lot of them are just waiting to be able to go back to their property.
Yeah. You mentioned the septic systems, Andrew. And Kelly Housley Glover kind of went over this last week with the Wasco County Commission. A lot of different factors on the septic system rebuild, isn't there? It really is going to be on a case-by-case basis, isn't it?
It kind of has to be, because it was originally kind of set up on a case-by-case basis, where as people were building their houses, they put in the systems whatever year that was, and they had different regulations regarding septic systems than we do now. Things were permitted that would not be permitted today, and so it's trying to balance the need to rebuild with the need to do it kind of safely and sanitarily.
Right. I think it was almost like there were three levels that were picked out. One was very little damage. You can just kind of, you know, go ahead. I think another one was there's some damage. You've got to do some repairs, but you should be able to go forward. Then there was kind of a third level of, and I guess there were a couple that, so far, and they obviously not all of them have been looked at yet, not even close, was this may take a complete rebuild of the septic system. And it sounds like this is good. And I guess this is one of the reasons for the recovery coordinators, isn't it?
That's right, yes. And septic is something that is not often covered, or often not covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. And so people are just going out of pocket, you know, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars to rebuild these septic systems. And so that's something the long-term recovery group has prioritized in a way, is covering and reimbursing people for expenses related to their septic system costs, because those are most of the time uninsured costs.
You mentioned, you know, there were a lot of donations that were gathered, Andrew, for the for this. And I guess there's still a lot of money that's undistributed. I remember there were mattresses, I believe, that were called for. And I guess some of this has been waiting for these outcomes to occur. I just went over in the last little while. Disbursement of those sort of things. What's happening with that? I mean, I know there's different funds for different uses, but where are we at on that?
Yeah, so when the fire initially happened last June, we partnered with United Way of the Columbia Gorge, who had the fundraising infrastructure set up. They raised a lot of money. They got a large donation from the Safeway Foundation. And so it was approximately a little less than $400,000 that was raised by the community. To date, we have disbursed about $75,000 of that $400,000. We are picking up the pace, getting those funds out the door a lot more quickly at this point than we were originally. And I will say all of those funds, all of the funds that were raised by the community are going to Rowena residents. None of that is going to administration, overhead, or bureaucracy. All of that is being kept strictly for the residents.
What sort of things do you grant the money for?
So eligible expenses are things that were destroyed in the fire and are necessary to rebuilding. So as I mentioned, septic systems have been a lot of what we covered, but it could be anything from furniture and appliances, clothes, mattresses, things like that. We've also been distributing, our partners at Oregon Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster donated a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of materials, lumber, drywall, tools. We've been distributing those to the community as well.
With all this, like I don't know if Andrew you would know the numbers or not, because I mean I know a lot of people on that committee who do look at various things. One of the things I got told out of this was a large number of those properties didn't have insurance at all. As we've gone through this process and learned more, is that accurate?
That's absolutely accurate. And of the ones that were insured, many of those were underinsured.
Right. So so this is a situation where, again, there's the potential for a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, obviously.
Not even just the potential. We're seeing it. People are going out of pocket. I know a couple people who have rebuilt, and they've done most of it out of their pocket.
And of course, those are the folks who are lucky enough to have that or have some source available. And Leslie, obviously, there are some folks who don't. And that's why you see right now, if you drive through that area, you'll see a couple places you go, oh, wow, they've rebuilt that really quick.
Yeah.
Probably because they were able to privately do the cleanup and could move faster. Where, you know, in Crestline, that's not a knock on anybody there. It's just that's how, you know, they had to wait for some state Wasco County issues to get straightened out. But as they get done, I would assume we'll start to see a little more go on out there. But there is a reality of, as you mentioned, Andrew, some of these folks, the damage is worse in some locations than others, and now you get into the permitting issues.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because a lot of the housing that was out there was some of the last affordable housing in the gorge, right?
True, yeah.
And we just lost all of that.
So you mentioned, Andrew, you're looking at years, obviously, on this. Where do the priorities go in the next year or two?
The biggest priority we have right now is getting people back in houses in Rowena.
Be it houses or RVs or whatever it is.
Back in residences in Rowena. So many folks are currently in the Dalles, or they're staying with family throughout the gorge or all of Oregon. We think Rowena is an important community for Wasco County and the gorge, and we want to see it rebuilt and see it, if not exactly what it was before, then thriving again.
Well, I would assume, I mean, it's based on even what the gorge commission did, I think the intent was basically to get it back to what it was before.
That's the goal.
At this point in everything. So, you know, have you gotten everybody paired up with a coordinator? Yeah. At least it wants a coordinator. I probably should put it that way.
We are still hoping that anyone who has not contacted McCack for a recovery coordinator, please do so. Even if your losses were, you know, smaller or your house wasn't completely destroyed, we would want to hear from you.
Well, I would think also, I mean, this gets into recovery dollars, you know, with government grants, et cetera. I would imagine that there is an importance just even for those folks who are just able to you know, rebuild on their own and able to do that, to get some sort of accounting, if for no other reason than to allow the area to be eligible for some, if there's pots of money available, to be able to go get them and help people.
Yes, and our statewide partners have been conducting, you know, impact studies and assessments.
Right.
But if there's anyone listening to this who is struggling, who is affected by the Rowena fire, yeah, please get a hold of us.
And Leslie, how can people get a hold of us? Because you've got the phone number written
sure
there to
do.
Remember.
Yeah, they can either email, it's rowenarecovery@mcac.com, which is mccac.com, or they can call Natasha, who is our recovery coordinator, at 541-965-2169.
Leslie, Andrew, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is 8:25 in the morning. We'll come back, take a look at the news right after this.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Looking to level up your fitness game? The Power Station in Hood River is your one-stop spot for strength, sweat, and now indoor pickleball. Yup, is it too hot, too cold, too windy, or crowded? The Power Station has a state-of-the-art indoor pickleball court, perfect for all-weather play, lessons, training, and play with your group. Whether you're crushing weights or dinking at the net, the Power Station keeps you moving strong. Learn more and book your court time now at powerstationhr.com, where Hood River trains and plays.
Voted best in the Gorge, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air keeps your home comfortable year-round. Hi, I'm Kimberly, and whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, our expert team is here when you need us most. From repairs and installations to our exclusive monitoring and plumbing memberships, we help prevent problems before they start. Our customers trust us for fast service, honest advice, and quality work every time. Experience why we've earned your votes in Best of the Gorge. Check out our article in the Best of the Gorge magazine. Call A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today. CCB number 203004. Your comfort starts here.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Darren Ryan for the River County Health Department coming up in a few moments. But first, let's take a look at what's in the news. A Marion County Circuit Court judge said he'll rule quickly on a case brought by the Oregon Secretary, or rather against the Oregon Secretary of State, by GOP lawmakers and voters over the timing of a gas referendum. Senior Judge David Leith on Tuesday heard roughly 90 minutes of arguments from a lawyer for the plaintiffs and a lawyer for Secretary of State Tobias Reed at the Marion County Courthouse in Salem. Leith said he would issue a judgment by Wednesday, today, and a longer explanation of his opinion by Friday on whether a recently passed law that removes a referendum vote on new gas taxes and road fees from the November general election to the May primary violated the Oregon Constitution, as the plaintiffs allege. It took over 24 hours of grinding floor debate, but Democrats in the Washington House approved an income tax on Tuesday on households earning over $1 million a year. The state now closer to enacting a tax on wages that has been in nearly a century. For the bill to become law, it must first return to the Senate for agreement on changes before going to Governor Bob Ferguson, who said he will sign it after that challenges in court and at the ballot box are expected. A joint meeting of Hood River City Council, its role as the Urban Renewal Agency Board and the Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, heard a report on the Heights streetscape plan at the 30% design mark. It focused on the first two of 11 total projects in the streetscape plan, the Taylor Avenue Neighborhood Connection and key east-west crossings. Nathan Polanski of design firm MIG said safety is a key element. The Taylor Street connection would make the street one-way westbound for vehicle traffic with on-street parking on both sides of the street and a 10-foot shared walking and biking path. A Heights streetscape community open house planned for April and 60% design work is to start in May. Final design is targeted for January of next year. The Dallas City Council approved ordinance changes to allow the city to turn over administration of transit lodging tax collections to the Oregon Department of Revenue should it desire to do so. City Attorney Jonathan Conrad told the council the tax rate does not change at all, with the ordinance changes required to be able to enter into talks with the state about having them handle collection and remove that duty from municipal staff. When asked about the impact on businesses, Conrad said the reporting requirements will actually be reduced under the state's administration from monthly to quarterly. Counselors did ask staff to bring back any intergovernmental agreement they might reach with the state for their review. Temperatures currently at this time in Stevenson, it's 40, the Dallas 39, Hood River 38. Mid-Columbia today, time is 8:30. Stay tuned. We'll have Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, with us right after this.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
Hello, this is Dr. Greg Stanley of Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center. People ask me regularly, when do I need to worry about my shoulder pain? There is evidence to show that 3 months of shoulder pain is the most that would be considered due to a sprain. If you have shoulder pain that has lasted more than 3 months, you should come in and be evaluated. It might make the difference between requiring surgery and not. Visit cosmc.org or call 541-296-2294. Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, where our goal is getting you back to being you.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is this Saturday, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by Sheetfire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's Sheetfire.
Rain today, high temperatures, low 50s. The northwest wind to 15 miles per hour in the morning, becomes southwesterly to 25 with gusts to 45 this afternoon.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are back. It is 8:32 in the morning. Hood River County Health Department. Darren Ryan is with us. Good morning, Darren.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's nice to see some rain after a while.
You're going to see plenty of rain in the next few days if the forecast is correct, which we can use. That is no problem at all.
I'm sure all the skiers are excited.
Well, yeah, if they haven't given up fully by now, I suppose they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk about, actually, first of all, it's something worth mentioning here. Saturday evening in Hood River proper, and I think also parts of the valley as well, there was about a one-hour power outage. You know, not really a big deal particularly, but it does kind of set a reminder as far as for some folks in particular who have health concerns that, you know, relying on power to help them about being ready for these situations.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. Saturday is a great reminder that this could happen often. We're lucky that we don't see power outages too often, but us in the health sphere are really concerned about those individuals who have, let's say, a life-saving or life-sustaining device that gets plugged in, for instance. You know, not everyone has generators at home. And these are the kinds of things we think about as a health department and how we can prepare people for when there is an emergency. And it doesn't have to just be a power outage, but we do see across the span of emergency events, it's likely that power gets interrupted. So for people who rely on refrigeration, for instance, if they take insulin, or like I said, somebody who has a, you know, breathing device that gets plugged into the wall, these are things we have to notify the power companies about so that they have an ongoing list of who to notify if they have a planned power outage coming, and also who needs to be contacted first when there's going to be a power outage or there is a power outage. So it's just one reminder we like to send people. You know, there's a lot of other ways we can prepare ourselves and our houses for emergencies. We put a few tips on our social media, but for those who don't know, the health department also has an emergency preparedness page on our website. That's a, you know, state mandate of our health department is that we are continuing to plan for emergency events. And so part of that is letting people know how they can be better prepared in the future.
Yeah, I would think, obviously, you know, things have to be refrigerated when qualifying to this, but I would almost think, wouldn't some of these devices have like battery backups, things like that? I mean, if they were that important, I would think those would be built into the technology.
Yeah, many of them do, but that also takes prior planning, right? Have those been charged? Are those checked on? Have the quality of the batteries been checked in on? I think mostly it's just a nice reminder of making sure those backup sensors or whatever the backup strategy for keeping that device going is prepared. We do still see some that are just plugged into the wall, though, and that's why we like to make sure that the power company knows, hey, you're providing power to this house, and that's life-sustaining here.
Mm-hmm. We've talked respiratory diseases. We are coming out of what allegedly was winter into what allegedly is going to be spring. I can't tell at this point.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah, everything is allegedly on the seasons at this stage. But, you know, the respiratory risk ratings we talked about a month or two ago, it looks like maybe, are we coming out of flu season here?
Yeah, great question. I pulled some of our flu data for the state just because I thought it was interesting. We're seeing flu rates coming down finally, which is great. It was a bit of an intense flu season. Maybe just anecdotally, I was hearing a lot of people that were out of commission for, you know, 2 weeks when they got the flu. We saw the peak this season around January 31st, early days of February. The peak was a bit later this year than it has been in previous years. Of course, I know you and I have talked about we see a little bit of a bump later in the spring as well. So that's not counting this. But really the bulk, the big spike that we see is this early February. And luckily, rates of test positivity, so that's how many tests are coming back positive for flu, are down to 19% statewide versus 24% statewide. I'm not reporting on local Hood River numbers, of course, because those numbers come directly from hospitals, and our hospital has very small ends. So we like to look at state trends or trends at counties near us. Mm-hmm. But it's great to know that we're seeing the rates come down, especially as we're moving into March. And then I just encourage everyone to keep an eye, like you said, on the respiratory risk rating website. Right now we're in sort of a caution zone. We've moved down from one of the higher alert zones, luckily, and this takes into account not only flu, but also RSV and COVID as well. So we're still not out of the woods completely, but we in the health environment are really excited to see things coming down. And I do want to plug, Mark, if any of your listeners are interested, we also have a data sort of resource page on our website, health department website, just in case anyone's interested at where we pull a lot of our information from and what type of data inform, you know, the programs we make or the communications that I design, or, you know, what other activities and trends we're seeing in the community. So I encourage folks to take a look at that. You can look through, you know, communicable diseases in our region or across the state. You can also look at, you know, hazards like winter hazards or summer hazards. So it's interesting if any of your listeners are data nerds like me.
Measles is something that we are also hearing about in the news. I know Clark County, I think, reported 8 cases, which is significant to health departments because they feel like there's probably more than what's been reported. Oregon came out with they had a big media availability 2 or 3 weeks ago in regards to this, urging people to get MMR vaccines. What are we seeing on measles?
Well, Mark, it's sort of the same as we talked about last month. It's circulating. It's absolutely circulating. I mean, people can see it's in the news. We get reports from other counties. A lot of us are just sort of waiting and, you know, laying in the wait and preparing for if and when cases come to our region. We know, as we've talked about before, through wastewater sampling, so that's, you know, treatment, or that's samples taken from our wastewater data, does show that measles appears in those samples. That's hard for us to pinpoint what that actually means. It may mean that somebody was just passing through and used one of our facilities along 84. So we haven't yet seen any active cases here in our community, but that's not to say that we don't see it passing through or in neighboring communities too. So we're really all just preparing for, you know, activating a response when measles does come. As I've said before, it's a pretty intense, the reason that we try and prepare so hard and we get pretty spun up about it is because measles can live airborne for quite a bit longer than, say, COVID or other illnesses can. And so that means that the exposure for other people in the community can be high risk. Mm-hmm. So we would have to stand up a response of contacting anybody who was in the same vicinity as somebody who is a positive case. And that would be sort of an all hands on deck. And we want to make sure people aren't getting sick, so alerting people as soon as possible. But luckily, as of now, we haven't seen that happen yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, vaccine does lead us to, it was exclusion day here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess. I think it's been since we had you on the show last. What became of that locally? I mean, did everybody get their vaccines, I guess, is what I'm looking for?
Yeah, so exclusion day was February 25th, a little bit later this year than it has been in past years. And again, that's the last day for your kiddo to get vaccines before they're kept out of school until they get their vaccine. So we thank you, Mark, for promoting our Saturday clinic, which we did a few days before exclusion day. That was very busy, and we were able to see lots of new faces for people who said, you know, it's really not accessible for me to come during the week. I work or there's other commitments. So the health department's going to plan to do a few more Saturday clinics throughout the year. That seemed like a great opportunity for people to not have to plan ahead too far. As far as exclusion day, yeah, we saw people coming in sort of up to the last minute. So those who needed to get vaccinated did. So it was a really successful effort. Again, as I've mentioned before, we did send out more letters this year, fewer letters this year than in the past, because there are more people who have exclusions for various reasons. But we did see everybody who needed to get vaccines come in, which was great.
Something else that got mentioned when you did a post about measles, and that is, and we could use this for a lot of things, social media and people trying to diagnose their health on social media. You know, now this is like anything else. The internet can be a good tool and a good assist, and like any tool, it can be used poorly as well. Especially social media for use to try to figure out what you may be ailing you just doesn't sound like to my old ears a good idea.
Exactly. I would go one step further and say, you know, using AI to diagnose a health condition is usually not a great idea as well.
Well, I'm lumping it all together into one big pile.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Mark, we have such a great variety of really specialized care providers here in the region. That's the role of the health department is really to try and get people connected to care, right? We're not a one-stop shop for all health conditions. Mm-hmm. But our goal is to get people established with what we call a medical home. So finding somebody that they feel comfortable with and that maybe takes their insurance if they have it, and that they can ask these questions to. You know, we really, I've talked to a few of my friends who are providers, and they say, you know, it's really hard when someone comes in having already diagnosed themselves with something and are unwilling to hear, you know, maybe other options for what that might be. And so it's nice to, you know, use these care providers as a first point of contact and, you really drawing on their expertise. So as much as possible, I think online we posted about try not to diagnose your own rash using social media. So mm-hmm. that was our, you know, quippy way of saying let's let the care providers do their work. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, that comes at the heels of us talking a lot about measles. It's like we want to make sure we're capturing things as quickly as possible, diagnosing things as quickly as possible. And so if people are sort of self-diagnosing at home and not going to their care home, mm-hmm. then that means we're under-capturing what might be spreading throughout the community.
I'm going to curl back to doing extended clinic hours with the Hood River County Health Department because you mentioned Saturday went so well. You had also tried at one point a weeknight evening, like 5 to 7 sort of thing after normal office hours. Just judging from what you talked about on the Saturday, did you find that was the Saturday one maybe a little more popular than the weeknight?
Yeah, I think there's a few factors at play. So Saturday clinics ended up being people who we would have never seen in clinic during the week. So that's great. That's a new patient population. That's new people accessing our services. It seemed like the midweek, sort of later hours, 5 to 7, were really the people who just the 5 p.m. cutoff was hard for them, but they were kind of sneaking in at 5:30, 6 o'clock. So it sort of fills different needs. I think what we saw for the midweek nighttime is that once it gets dark, it's hard to motivate anybody to go anywhere. So, you know, I can understand it's hard to go think about getting vaccines when it's dinner time and it's, you know, pitch black outside. So I think the real opportunity is to just have a few different options there and make it work for, you know, varied people and their varied schedules too. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the other question would be in trying to do the Saturdays. Hey, Hood River County Health Department, like everything else with Hood River County government, has its budget limitations. Mm-hmm. How much can you really vary hours at this point as a department? I mean, that is, I would imagine there's a juggling act to be able to make this work.
There definitely is, yeah, and it means us prioritizing certain things and, you know, making the most of the little money we have, which the health department is very good at. Luckily, we have great staff who can sort of flex hours and make sure as long as we have coverage during the week for clinical staff like nurses, then maybe somebody can be off for a few hours on Friday so that they can be there during Saturday. We also were very, very lucky this year to receive a grant from the Roundhouse Foundation out of Sisters, Oregon. That was for vaccine access specifically. So we received a little bit of money, and that was really what stirred the idea of doing these after-hours clinics. Is okay, so if we have a little bit of money to throw at something, what would be the most impact for getting vaccines into the hands of people who need them? And we said, well, why don't we try opening up our availability? And so I have to give a big shout out to Roundhouse Foundation for that. We'd like to continue to do them in the future. And I believe I've talked about on the show before, but we also at the health department have free dental services and free vision services as well. And so I think part of what was so successful about the after-hours clinic we did midweek back in October is that we had both vision and dental also available during that time. And we see those as really two resources that are lacking in our community. And so those end up being very, very busy. So it was really exciting. And I look forward to more opportunities to create clinics that have not just vaccines, right? That's just one small piece of what we do, but really having every single one of our offerings available at a different time than 8 to 5, Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm. Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, has been our guest here. Darren, thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much, Mark. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. It's 8:48 in the morning. We will come back and continue along on this Wednesday right after this.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SOUND to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SOUND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SOUND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is this Saturday, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is now 8:51 in the morning. You just heard about the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage that is coming in less than 72 hours, 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. On this station and others in our little Bi-Coastal Media Columbia Gorge radio family. And we're going to the mid-afternoon. A couple things worth noting. They're a little different. For XTC Truck and Toy, I mentioned this yesterday, a Warn, W-A-R-N, maybe it's Warn, VR-12S Evo model number 103255 winch. So if you're one of those guys with a truck out there, or gals, and you want a winch to pull things out, you can bid on this. Got a retail value of $1,099. They'll be up for bid during the radio auction. Also, I mentioned this earlier as well, Jones Truck and Implement, a JTI-branded 40-gallon agricultural sprayer, 5 gallons per minute. I know we've got some of the ag folks out there who listen while they're out there in the field. $695 value. They'll be up for bid during the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage. And, of course, there's food. All sorts of food certificates here. 64-ounce Tap House, Bargeway Pub, Beachwood Eatery, Beneventi's Pizza. The Pizza Bucks will be available. They got, well, I say there's plenty of them. They'll last for about 3 minutes once they're announced. They'll be gone. So you want to be listening for those. Cafe Enza, Dad's Sourdough Bakery, the Avanzos, Doppio Coffee Lounge. Also, what else do we have here in the food department? Oh, Ground Espresso Bar and Cafe. Also, Holstein's Coffee Company. Ishtapa, there are gift certificates for that location. Also, we've got, you can get tamales from, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. I'm probably going to butcher this. La Golosa Postre en Mas. I probably did not do well with that. Cameron, do you speak Spanish at all? No, okay. Well, you were from Texas, so I took a flyer. Also, Last Stop Saloon, Maryhill Winery and Bistro, all sorts of wine opportunities there. You've got Papa Murphy's, of course. Those don't last long, Papa Murphy's dining certificates. Also, River Tap Pub, Scooper McQuaid's gift certificates for ice cream in the Dalles. That's always a popular one. Sunshine Mill Winery, TNT Coffee and Bagels, Taqueria La Folgada, which is located right next to our studio in the Dalles. I have discovered they got some great tostadas. The Barbecue, the Cauldron Cafe, the Forge Coffee, the Grill Steak and Seafood, Twin Peaks Drive-In. So gift certificates for there. That's a good one as well. Also, wines on second. So again, go to GorgeRadio.com and get the full list of what's available in the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Gill Mortgage coming up Saturday beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning. It is 8:54 in the morning here. We'll get ready to wrap you up after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And we are back here, as it is now 8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, as we are continuing along here this morning, actually wrapping up. We can tell you that tomorrow, Matt Warbritton's going to be with us. Natural Resources Conservation Service, Oregon Snow Survey. We had to reschedule him. We were going to have him on last week, and got a little wire crossed, but we've got him back, and we'll find out whether this latest storm that's coming through is going to do much at all. My suspicion is probably not. Well, it'll do some. I mean, it'll do some, but not going to help a ton. Also, Skyline Hospital. Matt Coleman will join us from the hospital. Their CEO is going to be on the program tomorrow morning. And they've got coming up their Cultivate Columbia event. Here is right around the corner. I don't think I have a date in front of me here, but they are getting ready for that, which is a very important thing for what Skyline Hospital and the Skyline Hospital Foundation tries to do over in the White Salmon area. And on Friday, we'll talk a little bit about Discovery Center. I believe Danny Cosgrove is going to be with us to talk about that. I think we'll probably talk a little bit, my guess is anyway. We are going to chatting about an event coming up on Friday, which we've mentioned on this show before. It is the I have to read it. I'm trying to find it here. There it is. Cosmic Frequencies, an evening of music, science, and gravity, a laser interferometer gravitational wave observatory lecture. That is located in, I believe, the Tri-Cities area. I have no idea what I really said, by the way. But that's why we'll ask Danny on Friday. But it's supposed to be a fun event on Friday evening. 7 o'clock lecture. Free admission at Columbia Gorge Discovery Center for that on Friday. So that's what we'll talk about Thursday and Friday. Monday, by the way, Port of Hood River and the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce. Tuesday, Hood River County Schools and the Mayor of White Salmon will join us, Marla Keedler. So all that coming up on Mid-Columbia Today over the course of the next about week or so on this show. But we're pretty much out of time here today. I don't have anything else of any import to say. So for Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you again on Thursday.
Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's Country, KIHR, Hood River, rebroadcast on KIHR.